Discovering Your Future provides career and employment perspectives for anyone interested in learning how others have navigated their vocational choices. Listeners will pick up tips about creating meaning in their lives, building experience, developing a professional network, and managing their own careers to have a positive impact. Featuring lively discussions and special guests, we'll discuss unique career journeys and offer valuable insights into thinking about your future. It's never too soon to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. Join us and learn how to take the stress and anxiety out of career planning.
Welcome to Discovering Your Future. I'm Susan Martin, and today I'll be talking with Andy Overton, the Director of Recruitment and Admissions at the Carey Business School at Johns Hopkins University. Join us as we discuss the left turns you take in life and continuing to learn no matter where you are along your path.
So, Andy, can you tell me a little bit about your journey? Like, how did you get to where you are?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. I'm so excited to be able to chat about this journey of mine. So right now I work obviously at Johns Hopkins. I'm in recruitment and enrollment. And I did not start off my life after college or before college thinking this is what I want to do. Not at all. I actually really, I was in law enforcement for a while and I wanted to be in law enforcement, but I have to tell you, I wanted to go to the FBI. I wanted to work federally. I was really interested in that. And, you know, my life just kind of took a different turn and it was great. And I ended up working in higher education. I still get to help people. I still get to do the things that I want to do. And I ended up in a place that is the absolute perfect fit for me.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens.
It really, really is. Yeah, embrace it. Embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did it similar. I thought I was going to go into being an architect, and that didn't happen at all. And I don't know that that was suited for me at all. And I really think this path is so much better, and I'm going to be so much happier.
Isn't it great when you, I mean, it's kind of scary when you're going through something, you know, and you figure out that, oh man, this is not my life's work. That's terrifying. And I feel that. But once you get to where you truly are, oh, it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, you get so set in the path that you think you're going to follow, and, you know, it's not always going to work out. But when you do find the right path, and it feels so great.
It really does. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. You know, it's okay when things don't work out. You know, you kind of learn from that changing, and sometimes you have to fail at things before you really figure out what you're going to do. I know for me, like, I tried different things over the time when I didn't go to school to be an architect. I went to community college and I tried out several different majors and I ended up doing photojournalism for a while. But this was in the late 90s, you know, right before digital photography came in, and suddenly all the stuff I'd learned was useless. Like, everybody wanted people with experience in digital editing and I didn't have any, and I just failed before I even started that career. Do you have any experiences like that where failure, like, taught you something?
Oh, friend, let me tell you, if anyone tells you they don't have their experiences, they're 100% lying. And failure is such a strong word, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it really failure if you learn something about yourself, your environment, your community, if you can figure out the right path to be on, if you happen to be on the wrong path? I mean, one of my favorite things that I say all the time is, you know what, take a left turn, you know?
Yeah.
You're going down a path and all of a sudden life brings you something that you got to take a left turn, embrace it. And yes, that has happened to me on so many different occasions, either in the industry I'm working in, or I get a taste of something else and go, oh my goodness, that is the way to go. And I have to tell you, it's fine if those left turns happen like throughout your life, because where we are in our 20s, where we are in our 40s, where we are in our teens, graduating from high school, getting into college, may not be where you are when you're in your 30s and in your 40s. That passion, you may have accomplished that and you want to go someplace else. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, I wanted to be a cop, but I wanted to be a federal FBI agent and go out and bust really bad people. But deep down inside, what I figured out And this is where my huge left turn came, is that what I really wanted to do was help folks realize what their path is at that time in their life. Sure, law enforcement can do that. Counseling can do that. I ended up in education where I got to sit across from folks who go, here's what I love to do. And I think I want to go to school. I have no idea what my program is. I don't know how to get there, but my end goal is to be this. And I got to sit down and say, well, at this institution, the way you get to this is by taking these paths. Do you want to go down the path? And sometimes that was their left turn. And they're like, holy crap, yes, I do want to go down this very odd path that I've never considered before. And here we are. So I got to finally figure out that what I really wanted out of life was to help other people. I'm the eternal cheerleader. If your goal is not to hurt people, if your goal is ethical and legal, I speed down the highway. Let's just make that a buffer. And it's not hurting anyone. I am your biggest cheerleader. Let's make it happen. You want to go out and tour the world? Great. You want to be a musician? Fantastic. You want to be a lawyer? Great. And that is the left turn that, I don't know, I found my passion in going, I don't want to be in law enforcement anymore, period. So I get to be in education.
Yeah, left turns. That's a good way of looking at it. It's not a failure. It's a left turn.
Yep, it's a left turn. Like, turn the wheel and figure out what's ahead of you. You're going to have a couple of them. And here's the other thing, Susan, that I really think is, if you figure out your passion and your road in life and it is straight and narrow, good for you, but take a left turn every once in a while. Go advocate for something you believe in, but have never stood on a street corner and held a sign. Go figure out what it's like to, I don't know, take a photography class, even the old kind without digital stuff, right? Like, learn that skill and that craft. Life is filled with left turns. And even if you figure out that you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or an HVAC technician from when you're 18 and that's your life's path, great. Don't stay on the straight and narrow. Take a left turn and learn something new.
I like that. Learn something new. Take a left turn.
Yeah, it's the way to go.
So a few years ago, you ran for mayor at Hagerstown.
I did.
What did you learn from that experience?
Yeah. So, you know, here's my left turn is I was pretty happy with my career. Right. And I thought, you know, there's some things I think I can change. And so I worked up the nerve, to run for something. And I did. I, by the way, am not the mayor of Hagerstown from 2020. I did not win my race. COVID killed my ground game, but here's what I learned. And this is such a great question and such a great thing to understand is, I learned that our world is bigger than what is in front of us. Even if you think you're pretty, like, if your bubble is pretty big and you experience a lot of things, there are always, always other individuals who are experiencing other things. And we all live in the same world. It opened my eyes to the good and the bad of our communities. And it also allowed me to use, like I said, my passion, right? I could help where I can help. Sometimes helping is stepping back and letting things happen. But I found that, you know, running in a political office that you have I had a lot of support to do the things that I wanted to do, and it can be harsh. And I realized that my support system around me, I found out who my friends were. They, even though I didn't win, I pretty much got creamed. And it's okay because I just learned that this world is bigger than us. Even if you think the world is big, it's not big enough, right? And there are always things to absorb. There's always people to interact with. And there was not a day that didn't go by that I was not amazed by someone doing something fantastic in our community. And our community is the same way, right? In Frederick, in Maryland, where you are, whoever's listening to this, there is someone out there doing some really fantastic stuff that you have no idea what they're doing. Go talk to them. It will enlighten your world. That's what happened to me when I ran for an office.
Yeah, that's been my experience too, especially here in Frederick. I've been politically active in Frederick for a while, and I'm always surprised when I learn about like a new organization doing stuff. Like, I don't know if you know Ajay
Hill.
Yeah, Ajay Hill and his organization. Like, I met them a few years ago. I was like, holy crap, I didn't know this place that he was doing this. It's such a good organization, the I Believe in Me Foundation.
Yeah. And if you think about that, that was his left turn at some point, right? Someone sat down and thought, you know what? We can do this way. And that was his left turn that said, this is what I got to do today. We're going to make this happen. And some fail and some don't. And his was successful and he's out doing some good stuff. And you heard about it, which means that it's out there making its mark.
Yeah, like I thought I knew everybody in Frederick. And
yeah. You know what? When I ran for mayor, I thought I knew people in Hagerstown and I would knock on doors and go, how have we never met? You know, and these fantastic people that I'm still friends with today, just from being on the campaign trail. Oh, there's a big world out there, friends.
Yeah. I love meeting new people, making new connections. It's always amazing when you can find somebody new in a small town. I know, I guess Frederick's not small, but it's still small. It has that small town feeling.
It is small enough. I, you know, I'm a Rotarian and I came back from a Rotary meeting today. And there were some folks who had not been to a meeting in a while because of COVID. And I found some new faces. I thought I knew everyone in my club. I didn't. And it's just making those connections and finding out what people do for fun, right? I know all my bankers. I know my insurance agents. I know my college kids. I know what I do. And then you find out someone is like a master yogi, or like they knit on the weekends, they make stained glass, they rescue dogs. And you're like, oh, that's the connection I was looking for. So making those connections just by finding out what people do and say and how they interact in this world and their left turns, fascinating.
Yeah. People are fascinating.
I agree.
So that sort of goes into the next conversation topic we wanted to cover, was like continuing to learn. Like, even if you're learning from people, like over and over, you're learning from new experiences. And for me, like, I just went back to school in my 40s, and you know, that was exciting. And I think
it's too
important. I graduated last week, and it feels weird because I never thought I was going to finish school. I thought that was over, long gone. But my family came up and celebrated with me, and it was fun.
Isn't that great? Now, I don't know who's going to be, how many people are going to be listening to this or whatnot, but right now, if you're listening, let's just give a high five for someone who over 40 went back to school, didn't think they could make it, and graduated last week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is a huge deal. And again, I told you I'm a cheerleader, right? That's a great thing. Now, I have to say, formal education is not for everyone, and not everyone needs formal education to make that left turn and go where they want to do, and it's fine. But for those who do, like me, I did the exact same thing. I went back and got a second master's in my 40s. I am now in a doctoral program in my 40s. And look, if that seems old to anybody out there, I get it. You know, it's fine. I, you know, born in the 70s, I get it. But like when you're in this part of one's life, at least in my experience, I got a mortgage, I got a couple dogs, I don't have any kids, I have a partner, I have a mom that I take care of. And all of that are all the reasons to not start something new, right? You're too busy, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, when you really need something and you want something, you see that end goal. If formal education is what you need, you got to go for it. And maybe it's just taking a class or two. Maybe it takes you 10 years. Please do not let anybody else's experience dictate what your path is. You do you. And just keep plugging along, whether it takes you 4 years or 10 years, or you do it in 18 months. Woo! Make it happen. And just never stop learning. I mean, it's so funny. Can I just tell one story? I'm proud of myself. First off, my SATs were a combined 720. I'll let that sink in for a minute. That's not very good. Combined, friend, right? So somehow on the West Coast, because I grew up in Nevada, I took an ACT, which is a different kind of entrance exam, and I did okay. So I got into my first school, which was Mount Holyoke College up in Massachusetts. Shout out to my all women's colleges. And so from there, I got a master's right away, and then I waited 20 years in one day. I asked Frostburg to set back my celebration and my graduation. They said no. So 20 years in one day, I got a second master's, and now I'm in a doctoral program. I'm going to go back one more time. And I'm going to go back to FCC. I'm going to get an associate's degree because I don't have one. And I'm going to learn a trade. I'm going to learn something not in business. I'm going to learn something not in education. I'm going to go back. I don't have to take all the English classes, and I don't have to take all the math classes. I have those. I've learned that. But I want a program that teaches me something I've never experienced. And I think it's such a fantastic way to continually learn. Teach me HVAC, teach me plumbing, teach me how to graphic design, teach me how to use a CAD, teach me long haul trucking, I don't care. But I want to learn something that is so outside my comfort zone. And that, I think, is the definition of lifelong learning. Never accept the ability to sit back and not need anything else. Always absorb that information.
I love that you're going to finish your PhD and go get an associate's degree just so you have everything.
And to be fair, I will walk. I've walked in every graduation I've ever been to. I will walk at FCC across that stage, 100%.
I don't regret doing it. I love it. I thought for a while, I thought it was felt a little silly. Like when I was signing up, I'm like, really walking for an associate's degree. But when I was up there, it felt good, you know.
Yeah.
Even if it was chaotic, that day was chaotic.
Oh, it always is. Graduations are always chaotic for you. It's chaotic for the staff and your family. There's balloons. No one knows where to meet anybody. You're in a robe. It's Harry Potter, but kind of not. You don't have a wand. Yeah.
It's very chaotic, in the middle of a pandemic.
The middle of a pandemic, sure. Walk if you can. If you feel safe enough to walk, it is a really, I don't know about you, but I know that when I walk across the stage for this couple minutes, I'm like, this is my time. All the hard work, all the support I've had, everyone's staring at me and I'm fine with it. And oh my goodness, this is it. I don't know how you felt, but that was awesome.
Oh, that moment was so chaotic. Like, I didn't know where to look. I was trying to see if my family was out there because they did it in staggered. So like you had a 15-minute time spot to show up in, and so you could walk across the stage. And they asked me if my family was in the audience. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't see anything.
You're looking so on the stage. Who knows?
I'm like, okay, we'll send a couple people through. And I'm like looking, and I finally saw them, and then they pushed me forward. And I'm just like, what am I doing?
Yeah. It can be so tough, but I have a feeling that if your family was there, they saw you.
Right? They did.
And they're like, that's my kid. That's my friend. That's my niece, my nephew, my brother or sister, whatever. That's my dude. And so I hope you could feel that, because I have a feeling they were feeling it too.
Yeah, I found them. It was just, there were just more people in out there than I was expecting. And they made their way up to the front. So I was able to go and they could see me. Yeah.
Now, did you see them before they walked off the stage, or did you see them after you walked off the stage?
We showed up together, and I was just making sure they were out there, because they're supposed to be there, and then everybody leaves after you're walked off. So there's not, they didn't want like all the people hanging out in the auditorium or the cafeteria.
I kind of get that. That makes sense, right? It sounds like they made a conscious effort to figure it out, right?
Then they had like a reception outside, so you know, everybody could go outside, so they weren't hanging out in the cafeteria. So it was kind of nice. Yeah. Like socially distant graduation.
Sure. But with your family, and that's what matters, right? They got you through whatever that support system was, and they got to see you walk across the stage and culminate on all that hard work. It's awesome.
Yeah. Everything, it's a great feeling. Despite everything that happened, like my family's always been very supportive. Like when, like, I know I expected a lot out of myself, because unlike you, my SATs were not 720. I think I had a 720 in math. And, a little bit less in English, so I had like a almost 1500 SAT. And I had a scholarship for a university. If I could have gone anywhere in the North Carolina system, for a free ride, but things didn't work out because of my health, and I ended up going to community college because it was easier to stay home than to go away. And didn't know what I was going to do after. I didn't fulfill my dreams and took that left turn, fell in love with photography. And then that sort of, the world kind of conspired around that one.
Wow. That's a path, right? And I can't imagine how you then walking across the stage, that must have felt so great to hurdle the hurdles and knock down the walls and celebrate along the way and have good times too.
Yeah.
And have all of that hard work culminate in that one moment. That's pretty powerful. You had a heck of a road, right? And you did it, and you absolutely did it. And that's a little bit in all of us, I think. And the path that we take to where we are and where I'm going to be, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years, right? And so, you know, a lot of things could happen where I take a couple more left turns and end up in a place where I go, this is kind of neat. What's next on the horizon? That's cool.
I'm applying to jobs, and I'm just like, we'll see.
Well, I hope you have the support to help get you where you need to be, and if not, maybe all the listeners out there can help you out. I mean, put out what you want and make it happen in the world.
I feel I'm in a good space. Like my husband and I are comfortable enough that I can explore my passions a little bit. So it'll be fun.
Can I ask you one question? I know it's supposed to be the opposite, but are you still taking pictures? Are you still using a camera?
You know, I don't as much as I should. Like,
yeah,
it became like everybody can take pictures now. It doesn't feel as special.
I disagree. Eye is your eye, man.
I mean,
I hope
still
you go back into it.
I still do somewhat, but I don't have a decent camera to work with. So I take pictures with my phone sometimes, but I still do like art and graphic arts.
Oh, good. Okay.
At least got into that part of it. Less the photography, more the art.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. Just keep that eye, never lose that creativeness,
yeah,
and it'll come out, right? It'll seep through, yeah, in something you do, and you'll go, I'm so glad I kept that passion.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest passion was being in the dark room and playing around with the chemicals.
like that, that hand holding, right?
Yeah, I love the physical hands-on aspect of it, and looking through a digital lens doesn't feel the same. Like, I'm not taking a picture and then hours later or even days later, yeah, figuring out what it looks like and then manipulating, oh, wow, it. And I always like that hands-on, which I think is why like recording and, yeah, audio production was such a draw for me, because it's so, yeah, hands-on and so technical, and I can go in and mix and tweak, and it's almost like mixing all the chemicals and getting, you know, you're starting out with the raw materials and ending up with this magic at the end, like, not understand, like, it's just like magic from when it goes from what you had to the finished project. That's kind of what I loved about the photography school.
I don't know. I think you have figured out how that works, and you have put it in a digital world. And I think that's fantastic. I'm with you though. I like the books that I read for school. I can buy them on Kindle. I can put them on my computer. I need a book. I don't know why I can't get out of that, but I need something in my hands to hold and to feel, and I absorb, yeah, that information better. And that's where that lies. So I understand, yeah, the idea of getting into a dark room and seeing how that picture comes out and putting the right chemicals and making stuff happen. I completely align with that as well. But look, you have figured out how to move that into a digital world, right? Mm-hmm. Use that passion. You're mixing and you're creating in an audio world. And I just, at that, you figured it out. See, left, yep, turn.
Exactly.
Totally down the path.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that. All right. Good.
Okay. We got a few minutes left. So let me ask you, what inspired you in your early days? Like, is there anything that drove your passion? What kind of things like made you happy as a kid that, yeah, influenced your career path?
Yeah, I am, you know, I think 10 years ago, this answer would have been different. But, you know, looking back, I grew up in a really small community in the West Coast and in Nevada. It's not Nevada. It's Nevada.
Nevada.
Anyway. Mm-hmm, yeah. Take it from the native. And so I am originally from Nevada, and I grew up in a very small area where there was an elementary school, there was a high school, and that was it. I graduated with 56, 58 people. And I knew everyone, first, middle, last names, where they lived. And just about everybody in my high school. And one of the most inspirational things, I think, is that we ended up being, for some reason, I mean, we had our cliques, there were some bullies, but I always remember being able to be friends and to hear stories and to experience life from the folks who were the cowboys, the folks who were the jocks, the athletes like me, the cheerleaders, the kids in the back smoking underneath the stairs. And we all just seem to go through life as this weird cohort for like 13 years from kindergarten, mm-hmm, on. And what's inspiring about that is that while we were not culturally diverse, I come from a very white school, very, you know, Western area. What I think we figured out is that we were all very different in our own right. And that's inspirational, because when I kind of got out into the world, I realized very quickly that because you don't have interests that interest me doesn't mean we can't interact. It doesn't mean that we can't be coworkers, or we can't collaborate on something. And that inspiration from my high school experience with my best friends and being so close to the people in my town just really translated with me through life to say, you know, again, just because we're different doesn't mean we can't do great things. And I think 10 years ago, I would have told you that my inspiration would have been somebody from my family or my best friend doing what she loves best from high school. But when I really dig down to it, it was that collaboration and that kind of diverse area of different folks doing different things. And when it matters, we all came together and became a community. And I think that that has always traveled with me. That's what inspires me to do the things that I'm doing now.
Yeah. Before high school, I lived in southwestern Virginia, kind of like the Appalachia region. So I lived in an area community much like yours. These days, I don't think there was even 50 people in the high school. They closed. The middle school I went to is now the elementary school for the whole area. And they combined several high schools from when I lived there into one. But I think that class would have been 70 people in our class. Wow. And I understand what you mean. I moved there in first grade and we left in eighth grade. And I knew everybody in that class, and I still friends with some of them. Yeah. At least on Facebook, we don't talk as much.
Because
you get older and you don't have time for people in your life.
I know. It is tough.
Yeah, I understand that. It was tough leaving that community and going down to North Carolina. In some ways, and other ways, I was ready to get out of, the middle of nowhere.
I feel that in my heart. I love Dayton, Nevada. Dayton, Nevada is my hometown, but I'm so happy that I was able to spread my wings and get out across the country and do something new and exciting. But I hold that dear, right? That experience that I had in my small town is what drives almost everything I do today. So it's still with me, but I had to get out as well. I could not wait to graduate and go experience something other than that hometown. And the minute I got out, I missed it. It's what humans do, right?
Uh-huh. I miss my friends and the people I grew up with, but I had to get away from it because it felt stifling.
Sure. And a lot of my friends stayed and they're doing great. And that's their passion. That's their calling. And I love it. And I think it's wonderful. And I visit them every time I come back. And should they ever get to the East Coast, they visit me. And it's okay. We just had different pathways and we figured it out. And I love my hometown. So I'm with you.
Yep. Little tiny towns.
Yep. Little tiny towns.
Not very many people understand when I say I lived in a small town.
I do. I get you. I feel you. Like I said, on a very deep level, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So another thing we like to discuss before we leave, we end things. What kind of impact and meaning do you hope to have? And I think we've kind of covered that a little bit. But for me, I love having an impact and being able to. One of the things I want to be able to do is tell people stories with podcasts and stuff. And I think being able to tell people's story helps people have empathy. It's hard to judge somebody once you know their story. So that's something for me, to be able to tell stories and drive that empathy and have an impact in the world. What kind of impact do you hope to have? We've already covered some of it, but is there anything else?
Well, I think ultimately my goal is to leave a spot a little bit better than I found it. Now that could be because I take my grocery carts back and I put them away. It could be because I develop something that allows education to be reached across the world, whether you're in class or not. And it could just simply be that I make an impact in someone's life before I go, whatever that go means, right? If that is what my legacy as a human being on this earth and in this community is, I'm happy with that. And in a way, I'm not a doctor, but I know that their credo is to do no harm, only do things for good. And I try and live by that. I want people to look back, whether they've known me for 5 minutes or my entire life, and go, she did more good than she did bad, right? She did more good in this world. And the imprint that Andy Overton has left has been a positive one. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I get it right all the time. Frequently, I do not. There's a lot of left turns in that world, right? But I would like to think that at the end, when everything is tallied up, it's more positive than negative. And whether I've known you for 5 minutes or my entire life, someone goes, that's a good egg. And let's emulate some of those things. That is my impact. That's my goal to do in this world.
That's a very noble goal.
Thank you.
Just to have a positive impact, even if it's just a little.
That's
all anybody can hope for, to leave the world a little bit better than they came into it.
But look, if you want to go out and cure cancer, do it, right? I'm not stifling you. If you want to go out and find world peace, excellent, make it happen. I'm just going to continue to retrieve my grocery cart and put it back. I'm going to help people, you know, across the street. I'm going to give a little extra to the nonprofits I love and make my impact that way. So don't let it stifle you.
I think that's a good goal. I think.
Thank you. I hope so.
And I think you are.
All right, I'll take it.
The 2 weeks I've known you now.
Yeah, good, excellent. My goal, I've completed it. Check.
All right. Any final thoughts or advice you want to give to our listeners?
Yeah, that left turns are just that, new experiences, and failures is a harsh word, man. Learn from something, figure out where you are, and keep going. There is no reason to hit a door and stop. There's always a way around it. You have more support than you think you do, more than likely. And I tell this to every kid, and I say kid, but I mean every student, every non-traditional adult taking classes, that I promise you, when you sit down for whatever test you're taking, physical in life, you know more than you give yourself credit for. Dig deep, take the test, pass it, and move on. That's my big life advice.
That's good advice.
Thanks.
Dig deep and do it.
Dig deep and get it done.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. This has been awesome. And yeah. I'm so grateful for you and this voice and this outlet. And thanks for doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And keep going. Make it big.
Thank you.
Hope this episode has served as inspiration for you and will help you make wise decisions involving your professional career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic suggestions, feel free to leave them in a comment section. And don't forget to visit the FCC website for great career info and counseling.